We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Showtime. How y'all feel?
If you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Welcome back to Sports Daily on a Wednesday. 1 hour down, one to go. If you missed any part of the show, feel free to go back and listen to any or all of it on the podcast, kfhradio.com. And don't forget to download the radio.com app. Find it in the app store on your phone by searching radio.com. Kansas Jayhawks are 1-1 in the Les Miles era. They had a disappointing loss, 12-7 to Coastal Carolina this past weekend in Lawrence. They'll hit the road for the first time, and they have a Friday night game at Boston College, on air at 5, kickoff at 6:30 right here on KFH. And the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, joins us for our weekly visit at this time every week on a Wednesday. Brian, that was a tough one. KU scored at the very beginning of the game and never scored again. We'll get to the particulars why in just a minute. But how frustrated were the players and coaches after the game? Because I know Les Miles went on record as saying, I'm really frustrated. I didn't see it going this way.
Oh, I think they were mighty disappointed and realized what that loss meant in terms of their overall season goals, in terms of what the fan base might think or say, in terms of how much more important this week suddenly becomes. And every week is super important, but this was one where you expected the team to keep ascending upward. You hoped that they would build off of that late fourth quarter game-winning drive versus Indiana State and kind of hit the ground running in week two. And they did literally hit the ground running on that opening drive with a 41-yard touchdown run by Khalil Herbert, a play that kind of gave you hope that, all right, well, Puka's back, and if it's Puka not being magical and taking it to the house himself, he's going to be one hell of a decoy that forces the defense to go with him. And in these two-back sets, a guy like Herbert could really feast. And so we're thinking, we're nodding our heads at each other, giving fist bumps and all that in the booth, thinking, all right, giddy up, here we go. 41-yard touchdown, 7-0, 3.5 minutes in. Yeah, buddy. And that was it for the rest of the night. And the remaining 3.5 hours was like pulling teeth, unfortunately, because there were chances. They were moving the ball. It's not like it was three and out. But three fourth down conversions that all came up empty. You had a missed field goal, two interceptions. And it felt a lot like week one, only worse, where you weren't capping drives with points. And so, you know, it's not that this offense is void of weapons. There's plenty. But they've not been hitting on all cylinders yet. And obviously now, as you head up to Chestnut Hill, take on a team that's averaging 40 points per game and has multiple future NFL players on their offense, clearly this Kansas offense has its back up against the wall. They're going to feel so much pressure trying to hold serve and match these very talented Boston College players point for point, drive for drive here on Friday night.
This was going to be a difficult game, Brian, regardless of the outcome last weekend. Even if Kansas wins, they flip the score and they win a game, or even if they had won by a couple of touchdowns. I mean, it would have obviously given them a lot of confidence, but you're still playing against a very good football team. The thing that bothers me the most is that everything that you gained from week one, emotionally, you gave back in week two. And that's the kind of thing that, with the challenges that Kansas has with personnel at this point anyway, that you just don't want to have to deal with. I mean, you know, emotionally, that's the one part that you want to feel like, okay, let's keep it in the proper perspective. That's what bothered me the most, is that, at least from the outside looking in, it felt like they gave it all back.
Yeah, I think that's really well phrased, Bruce. And looking at some of the faces outside of that locker room on Saturday evening, I think they certainly wore that burden and grief and frustration and disappointment on their faces. And I think that turned into determination by Monday afternoon when guys like Carter Stanley were meeting with the media. And so they know how much they gave back. They know what was left on the table there, what could have so easily been way, way different if they just find a way to complete one of those drives, to pick up one of those fourth down conversions. And it's not just on the players. I think that, you know, there's certain things the coaches wish they might have called differently or run differently in those instances. But it's kind of tough right now as they try to hit on all cylinders and become their optimal version of an offense, because I don't believe, if they're honest, the coaches have a ton of confidence in the kicking game right now. And it's been kind of bizarre, guys. If you watch both of our games, Indiana State and Coastal both came in with hyped kickers that then missed point-blank 26, 31-yard field goals. Both of our kickers have missed kicks repeatedly. And suddenly it's like, well, geez, if it's fourth and five, maybe you still go for it when nine times out of ten in a previous year you line up and you boot it through. And so you don't take anything for granted in the kicking game right now. And then with a quarterback who, you know, one of those interceptions was absolutely on him, the first one where he tried to force it deep downfield, throwing on the run across his body, just an ill-advised throw. The other one, there was some miscommunication with the receiver, and Andrew Parchman has since taken the blame for that one. But the point is, I think as Les Miles and Les Kinney are thinking about what to call, it's not just a matter of, like, integrating Puka, you know, square peg, round hole, let's just force him in as much as we possibly can, and he's our best weapon, so just feed him. That's not the case. I think genuinely they're trying to figure out what they truly have with the passing game, how much they can trust certain throws downfield, and then because they can't trust the kicking game as much as I think they eventually will, it really kind of handcuffs you in terms of what you can call. And so, you know, Puka's going to get more settled back there, and he had a good game. He just didn't have a great Puka game. The 22 carries were a career high, three more than his previous best. And he had 99 yards, which is nothing to shake a stick at. He averaged 102 per game last season. But yards per carry was where it was different. 4.5 sounds decent, right? Well, he averaged 7 a carry last season. And so as the game went on, we kept waiting for him to break that big one, and it just never came. And it got a little bit predictable at times. And that's where if they can develop more consistency and throwing over the top and completing passes downfield, they won't be so susceptible to stacked boxes against the run game, which I think they're going to see a lot of going forward. So hopefully we'll see the pass game start to open things up for the ground attack. And I know nobody's more motivated to rectify those wrongs than the quarterback, Carter Stanley.
Talking to Brian Haney, play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. KU travels to Boston College Friday night on air at 5 o'clock, kick at 6:30 right here on KFH. Again, that's a special Friday night game at Chestnut Hill. I want to get back to the communication a little bit, Brian, between Carter Stanley and the receivers. First of all, full disclosure, I was really critical of the numbers and what Carter Stanley did and didn't do yesterday, talking about it here on Sports Daily. But on further review, and with a little help from Jesse Newell from KansasCity.com, covers the KU beat, the communication not only between the booth down to Les Miles, from Les into the players, into the quarterback, revealed quite a bit of miscommunication / not on the same page. What can they do to rectify that? And do you think Les Miles will change how they call the plays to make sure that everybody knows the play that's being called? Sounds like a simple thing, but apparently some wires getting crossed, aren't there?
Yeah, and you know, without diving a ton into it, because I thought Carter did a great job of deflecting those questions yesterday,
right,
because there's no way to fully answer it without making it sound like you're either making excuses or pinning it on somebody else. And that is a great article. You can direct folks to miscommunication of KU football offense from Jesse. He does a terrific job. And Coach may or may not talk about it on Hawk Talk this evening. We'll see. I know you guys hear that tomorrow, by the way, programming note here on KFH. But clearly you're going to have to change some things up. And right now, you know, everybody was calling for personnel changes. It could be as simple as communication changes, helping to make the communication better and the personnel on the field more effective. I do know this, you know, while a lot of folks were ready to make a switch on Saturday night after things went the way they did, this would not be the ideal time to throw another quarterback into the mix and essentially throw him to the wolves as you head on the road to face a power conference opponent in their house, Friday night game. Now, if the game is struggling as we go, we get two quarters in and, you know, the offensive efforts have continued to sputter, maybe you see a shakeup at that point. But to change the starter after week two, whether it was Thomas McVitie or Manny Miles or whoever, it's a really tough spot to put your new guy in. And it's a tough spot to put the rest of the offense in when, even though it's been a struggle, the consistent voice where there's continuity is Carter. And if they can fix some of those communication issues, whether they make some changes on how they're getting plays in from the sideline or what, you've got some continuity back there. You've got a leader who's been with this offense for 5 years now, not this specific scheme,
right,
but with this group. And I think to make that change prior to your only non-conference road game, your only Power 5 conference road game, you know, on a short week, that just wouldn't make a ton of sense. And so I think it's easier to coach up what you got and maybe correct some of those issues that you were alluding to and then see what you got. But make no mistake, if this offense proves to be a sinking ship and we're halfway through the third quarter and Kansas is down three scores and they're punchless and lifeless, you might see some different things, whether it's schematically or personnel. They're not going to, you know, plant their flag on the hill and just go down with exactly the same thing over and over again. But I think for those that were calling for a switch right away after Saturday, I understand it. It's been tough to watch this offense the first couple of weeks, expecting much more. But I don't think this was the right juncture to do that. And I think Coach will probably elaborate on that a little bit tonight on Hawk Talk.
Yeah,
it's great catching up with Brian Haney each and every Wednesday, voice of the Jayhawks, courtesy of our friends from the Mattress Hub. Okay, Bri, it's been a while since Les Miles has been in a situation like this. I mean, he won a lot of football games at LSU. He won a lot of football games at Oklahoma State before that. But it's been a while since he's dealt with a team that is kind of ground level. How do you think he's reacting, and what do you think the message is at this particular point, not only to his team, but maybe more importantly to his staff?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and I'm not sure exactly how to answer it without just sheerly speculating, because we've just had 12 minutes with Coach so far this week at the Monday press conference, and maybe tonight he'll open up a little bit more about it. But you're right, this is uncharted water, you know, to be in this spot going all the way back to maybe his first season at Oklahoma State, a job that eventually he started to turn the tide on and became the Big 12 Coach of the Year while with the Cowboys. So maybe he's having to go back to see what he did to jumpstart things back then. But, you know, he's used to having much more talent to work with. And if the offense was struggling, well, let's put a different five-star guy in over there and see how he does. And it's a little bit different, obviously, when you're building from ground zero here at Kansas. But and that's probably not a fair classification. I don't think he'd say he's building from ground zero, but you are starting from square one. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
He inherited talent. He said on Saturday, even in the wake of the defeat, I still like my team. I think we've got a good team. But I think there are certain obvious personnel discrepancies as we get deeper into the schedule. And now everybody you play from week three on was either in a bowl game last year or is projected to compete for one this year. There's going to be obvious and in some cases glaring talent discrepancies in certain position groups. You got to find a way with your staff to overcome that. And clearly that's easier said than done. I don't think that it's Grand Canyon-like in most of these matchups. I think in many matchups, they're competitive at certain spots, but you have to find a way schematically and coaching up your guys, squeezing every drop of potential out of them to overcome some of those perceived talent mismatches. And that's where the coach earns his paycheck. That's where the guy with 143 career wins and a future Hall of Fame designation down in Atlanta will prove his stripes here and earn them at Kansas. So to answer your question, I don't know how he's handled his staff. I'm sure it's been frustrating. But if we're all going to sit here and think that this has caught him by surprise, then we'd all be pretty naive. He knew what he was walking into at KU.
And he
knew that there would be a couple of days that felt like two steps back instead of one step forward. And that was Saturday night. But to think that that's going to get them down and completely get them stuck in the mud, that's underestimating what he's capable of, because he's been through similar situations, just not in a long, long time, to your point, Bruce. So I'll be excited to see what the old ball coach has up his sleeve this week.
It'll be Friday night as KU travels to Boston College to take on the Eagles. They have beaten Virginia Tech and Richmond. They're not exactly, at least last couple of years, and get your thoughts on it, Brian, they're not exactly high-flying, high-powered, but they do have a workhorse running back in A.J. Dillon, and Kansas will likely need to try to outscore them a little bit. They're 3-touchdown underdogs, but A.J. Dillon is a real beast as a running back, isn't he?
He is, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but I talked to you guys on the phone on a Wednesday morning driving to the Cotton Bowl last December. I think it was day after Christmas to call a bowl game, and I ended up talking with you guys longer on air in the cab to the stadium than I did in the bowl game.
That's
on
right.
Air.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, that's right.
Canceled, yes. That was Boise State, Boston College. It was the only canceled bowl game since Pearl Harbor. And we played 9 minutes and 52 seconds, and that was it. And truth be told, we did 2 hours of rain delay theater, which normally is a baseball term when guys like Ryan LaFever have to fill for 2 hours during a rain delay. But we did that on the network for 2 hours, and finally they called the game. But I reference that to say that I've seen these guys quite a bit, and you're right. I mean, Dillon's a future pro. I think Bruce will be drafting him on his fantasy team this time next year in the NFL.
Give him to me.
But the thing is, exactly. I mean, he's a big boy. He'll run through you. He'll power his way through two defenders downfield. But I think the thing that that you have to keep in mind is, while Dillon gets all the hype, and he is actually on the Heisman Trophy watch list amongst dark horse candidates, you know how tough it is for running backs to get it over quarterbacks, but he is a candidate. Anthony Brown will beat you over the top. I mean, he's got the ability to throw a good deep ball. He's dual threat. He can extend the play. And so if you load up for Bear on Dillon, Brown can beat you over the top too. And they're really good defensively. And I just think Steve Adazio is such a solid football coach. Unless Miles will tell you the same. Coach Miles was telling you that Coach Adazio tried to recruit Ben Miles, his younger son, who's a fullback on the KU football team. So they know each other really well. And I think there's a ton of respect between these two. But it looks daunting when you talk about an offense that's averaged 40 points a game these first 2 weeks, and maybe fans will say, yeah, but one of those was Richmond. I would counter by saying, yeah, but one of those was Virginia Tech in a game where they were a 5-point underdog in week one, and a lot of folks have Virginia Tech picked to go 8-4 or 9-3. Boston College stood up and punched him in the mouth. So I'm really impressed with this Eagles team. I think it's going to be a huge, huge test for Kansas. And I don't expect the Jayhawks to come out and play from out in front wire to wire. But if you could somehow avoid that 17, 21, 24-point hole that seems to fall upon these Hawks in the last 10 years when they go out on the road and face better teams, this is not an offense built to play catch-up, built to play from behind. And so I'm not saying you got to get a 10-point lead early, although I love that. But if you could somehow, at least in the first quarter and a half, match them drive for drive, even if they're getting 7 and you're getting 3, just to move the chains, you know, shorten the game a little bit and show some punch and fight offensively, what you can have happen is have Dillon gash you, Brown burn you over the top, and then you look down at 17-0 quicker than you could say rock chalk. Yeah. Because then I think we are talking about, you know, folks looking around on the sideline like, oh, gosh, who's it going to come from now? And how are we going to pull out of this? And that's just not at this stage with this Kansas offense where they're best composed to you know, have a big comeback come about. So hopefully Kansas gets off to a quicker start. I know we say that every year heading out on the road, but it's so true when you have the type of personnel that Boston College has this week.
You can hear it right here on KFH. You're on the air at 5 o'clock, kick at 6:30 from Chestnut Hill, KU and Boston College. Final question before I let you go, and I don't mean to catch you flat-footed, Brian, but did you realize Landon Lucas was so good at playing poker? Have you heard the latest from him?
You know, I saw someone on Twitter a couple of days ago that he was at the final table. I didn't see how it finished up. We had a bid, the unveiling of the Horse Volleyball Arena yesterday, $11.5 million new arena. So I'm behind on my Twitter poker updates. What's the latest?
He finished second. He got to the final table, finished second, and won $38,985 in San Diego, the World Poker Tour.
Good for him. That's fantastic.
No kidding. Yeah. That's awesome.
We have an injury right now, and I bet that money will help as he's taking some time off from hoops to rehab and still has sights set big time on basketball. But he's also a really impressive mind when it comes to entrepreneurial stuff. And the fact that he's literally a jack of many trades and a master of a few, whether it's hoops, his business. He had a Seeker insurance company he was jump-starting this past spring, and now World Series of Poker stuff, that's pretty impressive. That's a versatile guy.
Not bad. Almost won $39,000. All right, Friday night, special edition of KU Football. We'll be listening, Brian. Safe travels, and go get them.
Hey, thanks so much. You guys have a wonderful one, and thanks a lot to my friends, the Mattress Sub, Brian Beatty and Company. The best selection, best customer service as well. Find them online at themattresshub.com, locally owned and operated by real Kansans and some of Wichita's very best people. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day.
Brian
thanks,
and
Brian.
David
we
Lawrence,
appreciate it.
Starting 5 o'clock in Massachusetts. KU 1-1, BC at 2-0.
Why is it with KU football that I always feel like I'm locked in some kind of surreal form of deja vu?
Well, here's what brings me pause, and I will back off a little bit of the criticism of Carter Stanley when after the miscommunication stuff comes out. I mean, makes sense. You're not on the same page. You're going to look bad. So they need to fix that. But, you know, Les Miles, in part, not only because he couldn't beat Alabama, but didn't have a very imaginative offense when he was at LSU.
No,
so
you're right.
You know, you better change something or show something at Kansas, because regardless of where you are, your offense better be a little more high octane than this. It doesn't matter what league you're going to be in.
You don't have to. It doesn't have to be so imaginative as long as it's really good being basic.
Yeah,
and the problem is this offense isn't really good at being basic, so you better try to figure something else out. And that's on Les Miles and his coaching staff.
It is. Get everybody on the same page and
make
everything perfectly clear what we're running here. Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, our buddy Chris Lamb coming up next, our volleyball insider but sports fan extraordinaire. What a weekend at Wichita State. We'll explain as we continue. Chris Lamb with us coming up next. Shane and I continue here. Sports Daily on a Wednesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.